in school. I'm sure you don't remember me.
And now it's been 10 years. I'm still wondering who to be. And I'd love to mix in circles, cliques, and social coteries. That's me.
Hand me my nose ring.
Can we be happy? Show me the mosh pit.
Can we?
Hello. Howdy. It's the show. We're KBOO, and this is the Youth Collective, and we're kicking off the pledge drive here.
Yay.
So, woo.
Yeah. Woo. Send money.
You should all give us money for KBOO because we rock.
Money.
KBOO rocks. So the first piece that we're going to be playing today is by Erica Embry. And it's some interviews with some of the teens from the Salem Home Youth and Resource Center. Woo. Our theme this month is age.
What's your name?
Anna.
And how old are you?
I'm 14.
And what school do you go to?
I go to North Salem High School.
And what grade?
I'm a freshman.
So do you feel that your age has ever really prevented you from doing certain things, going places?
The only way it prevents me is not by my mom, but it's by the cops.
Okay. And where does this pose a problem?
The cops don't like it if you stay out past 10. Trust me on that one. And that's about it. Or if you go someplace and they don't want you there, or go on the wrong property, they don't like you there.
You mean like trespassing?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your name?
Lisa.
And how old are you?
15.
So what school do you go to?
North Salem.
Have you ever felt that your age has ever really posed a problem with doing things, going places?
To a certain extent. I mean, my mom will pretty much let me go anywhere. But my dad doesn't like me going downtown where all the druggies hang out and, like, skate park.
Do you like to skate?
I used to, but kind of got out of it when I got into high school.
That's cool. Are there any places that you hang out that ever really, like, pose a problem with you being able to go there because of your age?
Not really. I mean, there's certain stores that I would want to go into, like with the ones with all the weapons and stuff, that you can't go in if you don't have an adult.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that, but other than that, not really.
I'm Edward, and I'm 18.
Have you ever felt that your age has, like, stopped you from going places and doing things?
Like, to the strip mall?
Wherever you...
To the strip place where the chicks take their clothes off?
Wherever you feel that you have ever been prevented or not prevented.
Here?
Anywhere.
Like, yeah, here.
Okay. So, like, even when you weren't 18, you never felt like there were forms of restrictions on where you could go, what you could do?
Well, I can buy cigarettes now, but I don't smoke.
So, I see, and you, like... Playing the guitar, has your age ever prevented you from playing the guitar?
No, because I'm not like 83 and old and decrepit. If I was 83, I wouldn't be able to play guitar. But since I'm like ripe young age of 18, I can say, you know, since I'm not 83, I can't, you know.
Okay. So I'm here with, what's your name?
Trapper.
Trapper. And how old are you?
49. I just turned 49 March 4th.
What's your opinion on how teenagers are?
I don't know. I was a teenager myself. I don't know.
Okay. Some think teenagers are like a problem or a nuisance. Like, what's your opinion?
Well, every race has their own problems, and every person has their own problems, and, you know, it's just nature.
Do you think, like, once you get to a certain age, you become normal or grown up or whatever? Do you think that...
No, you're younger to feel.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye.
So here with me, I have Crystal.
Christina.
How old are you?
16.
18. Okay, and have you ever felt like
that your age has ever prevented you from doing things and going places?
No, because I do them and go there anyway.
Okay.
Not really, like, except from, like, buying cigarettes, since we don't do anyways.
Okay. So you just never felt, like, hampered down by your age?
Not really.
Okay. Thank you. What's your name?
John.
Okay, and how old are you?
21.
Have you ever felt like your age has ever stopped you from doing anything?
Yes.
Like?
Strip clubs.
Okay. Do you hang out at strip clubs very often?
No.
Okay, so it's just been a matter of age, not opinion.
It's the fact that when you're young, you're not allowed to do it. When you're old, you don't want to do it in the first place.
Okay. That's an interesting opinion. Thank you. Okay, so here with me I have Peggy. Do you think that, you know, age has anything to do with how you act? Like, how when once you turn 18, you're supposedly an adult, and that, then all of a sudden you're going to be okay? And
boy, I think it's a real individual thing. You can have someone who's 15 who acts like they're 50, and someone who's 50 who acts like they're 15. And it's really an individual, and it can, within each individual, it can change. So I guess I'm saying no labels.
So, like, what you've experienced and how old you are.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay, with me I have...
Kim.
How old are you, Kim?
18.
So, do you think that your age has ever stopped you from doing things, going places?
Yes.
Care to elaborate on that?
There's no clubs in Salem. You have to be over 21. You have to be a certain age to go to, like... rated R movies.
Is that just like it? I mean, I know I've had people tell me they just did things, fake IDs and stuff. You know, they just did it anyways. I mean, it really didn't matter to them how old they were.
What am I in town? 21.
Okay. Being a bit smart. The wish to not get arrested is a good thing. Thank you. This is Erica Embry, and I'm in the kitchen, and with me I have...
Samantha.
How old are you?
17.
And do you feel like your age has ever stopped you from going places, doing things?
Yes.
Would you like to?
I can't go to clubs. I feel like I can't do much of anything dating-wise.
But you still do, like, you do fun things, right? You hang out with
friends. Yeah, I go downtown, go to courthouse.
Okay. So, do you have any favorite places that you like to hang out, like, on the weekends?
Marion Square Park.
And what do you do there?
Skateboard and bicycle.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Erica Embry, and I'm with the KPU Youth Collective.
We're going to go to this next piece done by Callie. It's about age again. That is our theme. So, yeah, I hear it's a vox pop of some sort.
Whether you like it or not, it makes sense that school has rules. And this goes for Roosevelt High School. Now, Roosevelt's been going through a lot of changes lately. They just recently split into three smaller schools, and now the school's cracking down on their dress code and calling out their off-campus lunch. Reasons for this, as pointed out by the staff and student council, go from the school's reputation being damaged by gang representation to kids simply not following off-campus lunch rules. These random restrictions have some of the students wondering if their age has anything to do with their say and what happens to their school.
Do you think your age has anything to do with your involvement in the school and community? Like for say, how they just changed our school rules and we ain't had nothing to say about it?
They just did it without any consent from the students, so I don't think we have much of anything to do with it at all. I think we should have a say in it.
That they should have talked to us about it so we could all make the decision, mm-hmm. So we could change it all.
I don't necessarily think that it's based on age, whether or not we have a say on what goes around. I think that they try to ask our opinion and get feedback. We do have a say-so, somewhat, I guess.
I think that our age could help. Like, being older, you know, you have a more mature point of view. But they probably won't trust people or their decisions if they are younger.
Do you feel like the youth had a say in what happened to all these school changes?
Not at all. I mean,
I went to some of the meetings that they had. Mm-hmm. Youth didn't, nobody really went because they weren't interested.
I think on the basis that do students get heard about what goes on around the school, I think some of the ideas and topics get discussed with the students, but I think other topics shouldn't necessarily be in the hands of students because answers would be obvious and students would go against what might be in their best interest. So I don't think that they were involved very much in this decision, and I don't necessarily think that they should have been.
So even if these new rules aren't liked by all the students, they're at least understood. If it is age that's stopping these kids from having their say, then it's up to them to prove the authorities wrong in a productive way. Who knows?
All right. Yeah, thumbs up. The next piece we've got is by Brianna. It's a short sound collage showing how youth are often portrayed in radio.
Our overall goal is to hit every youth in La Plata County.
You're likely to see these young people any day at a supermarket, school play, or skateboard park.
But they're actually there to terrorize.
10-year-old aspiring cheerleader. Her favorite teen celebrity is Hilary Duff.
Unfortunately, the youth militia have often tortured in the very communities in which they were raised.
He often wears baggy clothing, a backwards baseball cap, and soccer cleats.
She was 7 pounds, 9 ounces. She was born the day before her due date, and that was the nicest thing she's ever done for me.
Area health officials say there is mounting evidence of increased use of methamphetamine in southwest Colorado. In response, an effort is being launched to stop youth and others from even trying meth.
She looked like a crazy, a wild person.
The stuff that comes out of my mind is just like, you know, all sorts of negativity.
And you may think nothing of them.
I was about 17, and it was around, and it was the thing that was going on, and like I said, it started in a school bus.
Absolute shock and horror at the behavior of the youth militia, who already, after 2 weeks of deployment, had been directly implicated in no fewer than 7 murders.
They're seeing an increase in meth use.
The initial cut is designed for middle school and high school youth.
Adolescence is all about who am I and, you know, trying to figure out how you fit in or don't fit in.
Coping with a bipolar youth, a National Youth Service Training Program.
If you make me go to school, I'm going to kill myself.
17-year-old Rocker. She wears thick eyeliner, tight jeans, and a silver pentacle around her neck, a sign of her Wiccan faith.
At massive destruction, torture, looting of shops and shopping centers.
Puberty has not gone according to plan.
Our overall goal is to hit every youth in La Plata County.
Oh, we had some technical difficulties there. That was a sound collage by Brianna, and up next is the first part of a piece by Ben Hyde.
People see senior citizens, they tend to have questions they want to ask them, but don't. Why does the younger culture and the older culture have such a strong dividence between the two? Older people may think kids have nothing to say, and kids might think the same about older people. However, in fact, both groups do have the same thing to say, just in different ways. Since I'm young and already know what the younger generation is like, I went to meet with someone who is older. I talked to Paula Rosenblum, a 90-year-old amazing woman. By talking to her, I realized both generations have more in common than you think.
My name is Paula Rosenblum. I'm 90. I was 90 in last August. I grew up on a farm in Upper New York State, and we were extremely poor. My parents came from Russia, where they had a very, very difficult and dangerous life. And my father always wanted to be a farmer. So he came here, and he lived in New York City for a little while, and it wasn't just for him. He just had to have a farm. And in Russia, the Jewish people were not allowed to own any property. So he could never own a piece of land. Well, anyway, he got a farm, and it was an awful place. We used to say to him, he must have followed the Indians up here because it was so isolated and so desolate. Mm. I went to a one-room schoolhouse. Can you imagine that?
It's one room.
One room. And we had eight grades in that one room. The teacher would call second grade geography or whatever it is. You know, just the two or three students. There were about 25 students in the whole school. So the two or three people in that second grade geography would come up and sit at the front seat. Our education wasn't really very good, because most of the time our teachers, maybe 17 and 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were just not even thought about. And the nearest town was 5 miles away, and the population there was 5,000 people. So we were really not considered very important. As I grew a little older, I lost my mother when I was 10. She had a baby, my baby brother, and she had to be committed to an institution because she wasn't well. And, you know, that's where she lived. My baby brother turned out to be a U.S. congressman.
Wow.
Out of New York State. So I kept teasing him. I brought him up. I kept teasing him that I didn't do such a bad job on him. But otherwise, you know, growing up, we were very poor. And family helped out a little bit. When I was about 14 or 15, I went to New York City to live with an aunt of mine. And I got a job at a factory, I think. And then I got a job in an office doing filing, you know. And I was 15, and I was able to work full-time and overtime. Those were the laws then. You could do it. We'd work until about 7, 8 o'clock, and we didn't get paid for overtime. But we were just glad to have a job. It was around the Depression. You've heard of the Great Depression.
Oh, yeah.
So we were just glad to have a job. And as time went on, I wasn't that ambitious for school, for higher learning, which I could have done, but I didn't. I was mostly interested in people. As time went on, I met my husband, who also didn't have much schooling and worked, you know, also with little pay. I have three children, two boys and a girl, and a niece that we brought up. We took her when she was 2 years old. Her mother couldn't take care of her, so we took her. And always working for people who didn't have teenagers who had problems with drugs. I helped with nursery school and low-income apartment house. I helped establish the nursery school there. Food center, motion to disturb children, all that interested me very much. And I spent a good many of my years while married and bringing up my children. I was married for 60 years. My husband died 3 years ago.
How has life changed for you over time?
Well, I'm lucky because I was pretty healthy. And it was an even flow. You know, it hasn't changed dramatically for me. Started out poor. It would be bad the other way if I started out rich and then became poor.
Oh, yeah.
But if you start out poor and then you become comfortable, that's good. I think we ought to learn there shouldn't be any discrimination against black people or people who are different religions and different faiths. And we have to learn it's not right. So anyway, I'm very happy. I have to have a project. We're going to buy a stack of diapers at Costco's and bring it over to the shelter. In other words, I don't have any energy today to do anything, and that's what bothers me a great deal. And I have a lot of energy, and I miss that most of all, and I don't have it. I can't complain about anything except the lack of energy.
What are the advantages and disadvantages of being old, do you think?
Well, there aren't any great advantages, I don't think. Because I'm handicapped, I can't do what I used to do. Otherwise, I'm pretty much the same as I was. There's a saying I read that I like. You can't help growing older, but you don't have to be old. You try to stay as active and involved as you can. We sort of resent to have older people around in the house. Because you want to do what you want to do, and then you're limited because Grandma can't listen to rock and roll.
As you become elderly, what surprised you the most?
Well, there's a lot of technical stuff out there. You know, like, I'm computer stupid. I have no idea about the computers, and everybody in my family uses computers. I'm not involved in any of the new technology. And you know what? I don't care. I have my definite political views. I don't like Bush. I'm the Democrat. And I'm very interested in liberal views. I believe in the separation of church and state.
You were saying about how you're a Democrat and you're against the war, I'm suspecting, too.
You know, I am and I'm not. We should not have had this war. It was a stupid mistake. But if democracy does come out of it, see, I have a different notion. If the UN was strong and it's weak,
it is.
If the UN was strong, as soon as a dictator came into power, he should be knocked out right away. We only have problems where there are dictators. But where we have democracies, people can live. Poor, innocent people should not be killed because a dictator wants to take over the country, especially in Africa. But I hate to see these boys being killed.
Do you feel that the majority of seniors are Republicans or for the war? Or are there any things that you believe in that the majority of seniors do not?
This place, believe it or not, when the election was coming up, we were 99% against Bush. And we have discussion groups. And Bush would be buried someplace if he came here. Yeah, we don't believe that. First of all, the deficit is unbelievable. And he's cutting in the wrong areas. He never should have given a tax cut when we have such a big deficit. I mean, I could give you a string of things I don't believe in. And that's the way most of us feel. And I have some friends who are in the legislature. I have two close friends who are in the state legislature in New Jersey. And I'm very, very concerned that the gays get the same treatment that everybody else does. So, as I said, I love politics.
There is an expression that says we are always the same age inside. Could you speak to this?
I guess you are. You feel the same way you did when you were younger. Like, I liked politics when I was younger, and I like it now. We definitely have opinions about certain things. You know, sometimes they change a little bit. As time goes on, you see things a little bit differently. And I think I've changed my views about certain things. I'm against the death penalty. And we have one program here. Once a month, it's called Laughter is the Best Medicine. Most of the jokes are about Bush. One of them, this man comes to the White House and he knocks on the door. And the attendant said, yes. He said, I want to speak to Bush. Bush. He says, I'm sorry, he doesn't live here anymore. The guy comes back the next day. He says, I want to speak to President Bush. He said, I'm sorry, he doesn't live here anymore. Well, he did it the third time, and the attendant who opened the door said, you know, this is the third time. Why are you doing this? I told you, Bush doesn't live here anymore. Now, this is the White House. So he says, I just like the sound of it.
What wisdom do you have to pass on?
Well, as I said to you before, you can't help growing older, but you don't have to be old. Keep trying to do the things you used to do as you were growing older. In other words, if you were interested in political things, if you were interested in social work, if you were interested in helping people, continue to do it and keep your mind occupied. That's all I can say.
At the end of my interview with Paula, I felt like we had lots in common. We both felt the same way about politics and other parts of life. Yet we have a 73-year age difference. It shows that no matter what age you are, we all have something in common. And more importantly, we can all learn something from each other. So before walking by someone, whether your age or not, think of them as someone just like you, except with a different background. You can learn so much from someone you might not typically talk to. For the KBOO Youth Collective, this has been Ben Hyde.
So you just heard a piece by Ben Hyde, and up next we've got a piece by our other Ben, Ben 2, about skate parks. So let's hear it.
Portland is not a very famous city. One aspect that has earned it a measure of fame is a skate park within its city limits. Burnside Skate Park is internationally known for the ethic behind its construction, built by skaters for skaters. Being a skater myself, I was excited when I heard the city was planning on building more parks. In 2002, voters approved a parks levy that provided money for two more skate parks in Portland. I looked up the Portland Parks and Recreation website online and saw that there was going to be a meeting in my neighborhood to discuss possible sites. I attended and recorded that meeting, which included a presentation given by Rod Wojtanik about everything you need to know about skate parks in Portland.
Three-tiered approach centered around the regional facility. This regional facility would not be sited in a residential area. It would be a facility that's larger than 30,000 square feet, which is smaller than one Little League field. This area could accommodate 50 to 200 users a day or at one time. Could have all different styles of terrain. If you're familiar with skateboarding, there's street-style skating, and then there's transitional skating or areas that replicate swimming pools. And it could serve all different skill abilities, from beginners through advanced. We could have competitions there, and a facility like this could increase travel and tourism. The next tier down is these district facilities, or an area that's equivalent to two tennis courts. It's about 10,000 square feet. Could have about 40 different users at one time, different styles of terrain, again, and serve all different skill abilities. These would have on-site parking, restrooms, could be covered and potentially lit, appropriate. And then the third tier are what we're billing as skate spots or microplazas. These are small neighborhood facilities that would attract the local kids. They would be 1,500 to 8,000 square feet, roughly half the size of a basketball court up to about the size of a tennis court. Could handle about 10 kids at one time and serve a more narrow range of skill abilities. Full build-out of this system, we're looking at about 130 to 135,000 square feet. That's smaller than Lentz Park's Walker Stadium or our baseball field. And again, this total build-out could accommodate about 800 to 1,000 kids a day. Kids, again, in the age of 4 to 78.
Denver, Colorado has a 100,000 square foot skate park, which is smaller than one baseball field, that serves 600 to 1,000 kids per day. There are 193 baseball fields in Portland, but only one public skate park.
So why are we recommending such a system like this, such an aggressive approach? Well, by the year 2020, we estimate there will be about 40,000 users in the city of Portland. And that's approximately 5% of our population without a safe, legal, recreational outlet. We need to invest in our future, and as parks and rec officials, we see the trends are moving away from organized sports and more towards these pickup sports.
According to a study by the National Sporting Goods Association in 2002, skateboarding is the second fastest growing sport in the country, behind snowboarding.
So who are they? Well, I've met kids, I've met parents and grandparents. On our committee, we have a 13-year-old female, and we have a 54-year-old architect who started skating 4 years ago when his son got interested in it. They're doctors, lawyers, artists, engineers, school kids, mothers and daughters. In the state of Oregon, there are 60 cities with public skate parks. Small towns like Eugene has 5, Forest Grove has 2, Lincoln City has 2, Portland only has 1 in our park system.
The skate park that he's referring to is called Pier Park.
This is Portland's only public skate park. This is in the far north corner of Portland. I think it's worth mentioning. This is where Portland's only system is. That's about an 83-minute bus ride with 3 transfers. It's about a 15-minute drive, or a 28-minute drive, 15 miles. That was built in 2002 by local skaters, Portland police, and the National Guard. Portland Parks contributed permit fees. It's a 10,000 square foot facility that's been extremely successful since it went in, so much so that both local neighborhood associations that are around that park have donated money towards its redevelopment. Some may say, well, what about Burnside? This is another skate park in Portland, but this skate park is an anomaly. It's an oddity. This skate park was built by kids, for kids. It was built illegally. It's allowed to be there now by conditional use. Basically, if they screw up, it's gone. It's been there for 14 years. It relies on no public resources to be successful. It is the world's most famous skate park, partially because of its do-it-yourself effort. But it's not for the young, the timid, or the inexperienced. Not that these guys would be safe there, but it was built by advanced skaters for advanced skaters. It has helped to clean up the illicit activities that went on underneath the Burnside Bridge, and both the local police and business associations support this park. And it's maintained and monitored by the skaters. They pick up the trash, they deal with the graffiti when it shows up, if it shows up, and it's a success.
There is one other facility in Portland, the Department of Skateboarding, but it's private and requires payment for use.
So without safe, sufficient places for them to go, they turn to the streets, or the planters or seating walls, into the handrails, or to the crown out in front of the Rose Garden, where they artfully perform the adaptive reuse of urban architecture, a term I saw coined that I thought it was worth repeating. But we try to stop it. I mean, these are legitimate efforts to reduce property damage, both private and public. But these efforts aren't working. And they're not working because we don't have sufficient, safe, legal places for them to go. But somebody may say, well, what about the injuries? Aren't these dangerous places? Well, skateboarding, if you look at the statistics, and there's a number of reports that validate this, this one, the Journal of Trauma, found that skateboarders suffer less injuries than users of active sports like hockey, football, baseball, basketball. University of Wisconsin did a study in In 18 years, there was 3 people that died skateboarding. All 3 of those involved collisions with automobiles. And in that same amount of time, 250 people died playing baseball. Now somebody say, well, what about the city's liability? Isn't the city liable for any of these injuries? Well, California passed an assembly bill a number of years ago that said that use of public skate parks is considered a hazardous recreational activity, and you basically play at your own risk. The state of Oregon adopted this same law, and now, as long as our skate park is properly signed stating what I just read, we're no longer held liable for injuries.
In 1999, the National Safety Council and the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission reported that injuries to participants ages 6 and older for skateboarding were less than ice hockey, soccer, snowboarding, basketball, baseball, and football.
$100 for that damn thing.
One thing's for sure, there are definitely a lot of people who are ready for skate parks to be built. Some people have been trying to get the ball rolling for more than 20 years. Things are just starting to happen now. Southwest Portland's probably not going to be the first spot to get a skate park, but at least there's progress being made. If you want to get involved in the process of building skate parks, there are 2 meetings coming up, one on April 26th and one on May 10th. Both of them are at the Portland building, which is at 1120 Southwest 5th Avenue, and both at 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. They'll be in Room B.
She's atop the window ring. She's happy with the freedom her skateboard brings.
This is Ben 2.
All right, that was the piece on skate parks by Ben 2. All right.
Up next, we've got a vox pop that Callie, who's not here today, did with some 8th graders about air pollution.
All right,
let's go.
Yeah, we in the Northeast hitting the streets. You see all these factor V's, they all my enemies because they cause pollution. I have no solution. They got me.
Hey, my name is Tony and I go to Whitaker Middle School. And we're here to talk to you about air pollution. What do you think causes air pollution?
I see air pollution from cars, trains,
trucks.
Air pollution from cars, like gas and stuff.
Factories.
Okay, my name is Antoinette, and the 8th grade kids are going to do a survey on air pollution. And we want to know how it affects you or people you know.
It affect us because, like the air we're breathing in and stuff, it could be, like, someone could be contaminated by the stuff people be using by schools and stuff. That's why schools is probably getting closed because of that stuff.
It affects me. It makes me cough. It makes me chest pains. It hurts. It makes your eyes burn.
A lot of people in my family got asthma.
People who wasting oil, because I be seeing, you know how people be, they be digging holes by their yard and stuff, and just be pouring it in there. And, like, my mom, she, like, told the people, they come around and talk about the health and stuff, and she told them, she reported it, but they ain't did nothing about it, though. I don't like how they got, like, different buildings, like, it got, like, oil and stuff leaking and stuff by houses and stuff.
Well, it affects me because I can get sick and won't have to come to school, and school is good for you. And it affects my little niece because she has asthma.
It affects people I know by killing them or hurting them in a way, making them have a disorder.
Let's see, maybe asthma?
Do you see pollution in your neighborhood?
Living here, going to school right here in Columbia, you don't have to look any farther than right about 30 feet from us. Talk about air pollution with all of the industrial trucks and things going by.
There's cars right in front of our school going past, blowing smoke and stuff. We got like a junkyard or something next to the school. And on the other side, it's like a machine factory. It's all dirty. Yes.
Seem like a good place for a school?
No, I don't think so. All the pollution that's going around, a bunch of kids can get sick of it too.
All right. Is it on?
can't do it.
I don't know what to say. This is how I'm gonna break it down. It's made to be, I like the sound. Listen to where Air Pollution is usually found. You can find it on the park, even on the ground.
Oh. All right. So that was a piece done with the help of Callie, who's not here. And so quickly, before we go on to our last piece of the evening, we're going to do one quick announcement. In Vancouver, Washington, there's the Vancouver Nonviolent Communication Practice Group, and it meets at the Abundant Life Center. That's, again, in Vancouver, Washington, and they meet every Sunday from 5 to 6:30 p.m. And if you're interested in this, they have newcomers are welcome on the first Sunday of every month. And you can call Jim at 503-740-7074 for more information. So what's coming up next?
Up next is a piece about a little girl and her friend.
Awesome. Let's give it a go.
My name is Zoe, and I'm 7 years old. My friend, her name is Roseanne. On her next birthday, she will be turning 50. I spend most of my time with her, sometimes every day, and sometimes I wait a few days and then go over there. Sometimes we sit down and watch movies, and sometimes we go outside and garden, and I run around with the dogs. She has 3 dogs, 2 big dogs, and a little puppy. My dog, Biscuit, loves to play with the little puppy. Her husband, Pete, is mostly at work a lot of the day, so she likes me to come over. I feel that I'm not babysitted by her. I just feel like we're just friends and hang out. She really kind of has a kid spirit anyway. I'm glad she's my neighbor, and I'm glad we know each other. Every time I go over there, we have a pretty good time.
This has been a piece by Amber Loringer for the KBOO Youth Collective.